Our First Testament lesson comes from Genesis chapter 41, verse 37 through 40. Listen for the word of the Lord. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find anyone else like this, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only with regard to the throne will I be greater than you." The word of the Lord.
For those of you who are new or visiting, this is the last in our sermon series on the five-part story. The five-part story is a framework that we created to help us understand not just the totality of the scriptures, but in many ways to put a framework for our lives of faith. It is God loves the world. We wandered far from God. God calls a family. Jesus is the way to God. And now this morning, the Spirit helps us live God's love. We're once again in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. 14th chapter is Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room. They have finished supper and they are getting ready to go out. And so I'm looking at two short pieces here where Jesus promises the gift of the Spirit. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," Jesus says. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." And now verses 25 and 26. "I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." The word of the Lord. So why do you ordain women? It was not a question, yes, Joanne, it was not a question I'd been expecting on the 4th of July out at Greenfield Village. Cindy and I and some members of the congregation, we'd gone out to their big hoo-ha that they have out there every year, which is a lot of fun, band, fireworks. And we always get there early. We stand in line. We sweat a lot. And I got in a conversation with a man who was behind me. And as conversations do, it's like, "Oh, who are you? What do you do for a living?" He had been a Foreign Service officer working for, I think, USAID. And "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a Presbyterian minister." He said, "Oh, I'm a Presbyterian too." I said, "Oh, this is great." But then he said, "What kind of Presbyterian are you?" Now, this is someone who knows their Presbyterian universe because they understand that there are multiple kinds of Presbyterians. And when I told him that I was a pastor in the PCUSA, you could sort of see this, his expression changed a little bit. And that's when he said, "Why do you ordain women?" Now, over the years, I have developed an elevator speech to answer that. And as I said at first service, this is the first time I've had to use it up here. Down in Texas, I had to use it all the time. And I said, "Well, you know, Paul says that there in Jesus Christ, there's neither male nor female, that we're all one in Christ Jesus." I said, "In the book of Acts, you meet Priscilla and Aquila, this pastor couple who pastored a church together. They were equal with each other." I said, "Also, in Paul's letter to the Romans, he sends greetings to Junia, a woman who's an apostle, not just a pastor, but an apostle." And I said, "You know, so there you go. The Bible is you know, affirms women in leadership." Yeah, he wasn't buying it. Because In his denomination, it was very clear that women had no role in leadership at all, elders, deacons, pastors. And so he pulls out the usual passages and says, well, right here, essentially, it just says that you can't do it. So I paused for a minute, knowing that this conversation was not really going anywhere. And I said, well, the thing is, we believe the Spirit can teach us new things. Yeah, I hear Marcy. That we believe the Spirit does teach us new things. And before I could watch his head kind of explode, the gates open, Cindy grabbed me, and off we went, and I never saw him again. But those, that understanding that the Spirit can teach us new things is very frightening for many Christians, including many in our own denominations. It's frightening because across the years, Christians generally come to believe that there is some time back there in the dark recesses of history or biblical history or just life when everything was fixed and finalized as if this great iron curtain sort of descended across the church, learning really anything new. Everything is settled. And that their understanding of the Bible is kind of a manual of operations that says, well, do you have an issue? Well, here, I'll show you where to go, and I'll tell you exactly how things ought to be. And the thought that maybe the Spirit could teach us, that's disturbing. But what I want to offer you this morning is that it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be because that's not what Jesus says in this 14th chapter of John. As he and the disciples are getting ready to go out, he says just the opposite. So let's look again at verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And I'm going to translate it the way that the Greek actually puts it out. English struggles with this. But the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will continually teach you everything and will continually remind you of everything I have said to you. Teach and remind are continuing action verbs out into the future. They are not one and done. And so what I want to do is just sort of unpack this real quickly going backwards. I want to start with the remind you all that I have said to you. All right, so the question is, they're in the upper room, and this is where context matters. So in the upper room, and we talked about this last week, when they had finished supper, Jesus took off his cloak, just a reminder again, sort of tied up his loose-fitting garment, and he what? He washed their feet. And when he washed their feet, he said, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. And so what Jesus is implying here is that what all of us will be continually reminded of by the Spirit is the fact that we are to love one another like Jesus Christ loved us. Christ, who according to the Gospel of John, gave his life for the world. Not just certain people, but for the world. And so that is what the Spirit continually reminds us to do. But the first part of that is that the Spirit will continually teach us. And what will the Spirit continually teach us? It will continually teach us how to do that, love one another as I have loved you. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you have found it hard to love someone else as God has loved you? Okay? Sometimes we don't know how to do it. Sometimes we find it hard to do. We're not sure what loving someone looks like. But this is what Jesus does in this short piece, is he says that the Spirit will be present in you, continually
teaching you how to love one another. And what that continually loving one another, what that Spirit teaching us, what it looks like. It's what led the Presbyterian Church to declare long before the Civil War that slavery was anathema, because slavery could not be loving one another like Christ loved us. It was the Presbyterian Church deciding that loving one another meant that women, if they have the gifts for ministry, then God intends them to be called to ministry, because that is loving them and letting them love us. And so what we as Presbyterians have realized is that that iron curtain was never closed, because there are continually situations in which we need to be taught again and again and again what it looks like for us to love one another. And so what does that look like here at First Presbyterian Church? Thinking about our corporate life together, what does that look like? So we're 185 years old, been around a day or two, and for most of the history of this church, the leadership of this church looked like me. A white male, maybe a little taller, maybe a little shorter. That was the leadership of this church. And my guess at one point in time that if you looked out at the congregation, it would have all been Anglo, all been white, and all been straight. That was this congregation. But then an amazing thing happened. Over the years, I believe the Spirit was at work teaching this church new things. Teaching this church new things about how it should treat people and the kind of leadership it ought to have. And over time, leadership didn't just look like me, it looks like Reverends Joanne and Bethany. It looks like Reverend Louise Walthall or Amy Morgan. It looks like the world. It looks like men and women called by God. But even beyond that, here's what I want you to do. If you'll open your bulletins, grab your bulletins, and turn to the first page of First Things. Because not only did the Spirit open us to an understanding of leadership as being both male and female, and membership and everything else, it opened us to a new way of seeing the world. And go into the upper left-hand corner where it says, "We're everybody's church, what does this really mean?" You see it up in the corner. So I want you to read it with me. Because if you want to see how the Spirit has been teaching this church new things, here it is. So, "As everybody's church, we strive to be a faithful, open, and inclusive community. We welcome the participation of all people of any ability, gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or any other life circumstance." Even 50 years ago, this church would not have had this in their bulletin, but I believe it's here because the Spirit continues to teach us new things. The Spirit continues to teach us how to love one another as we've been loved. And so we've learned. We've changed. We've become what I believe is more faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Spirit not only works corporately within communities, it also works in individuals. And now I'm going to turn this over to Bethany, who is going to help us see how that has worked in our mission projects. Bethany.
Well, you can see we have a huge feast coming at us with all the different breads. It is World Communion Sunday, And we wanted to bring in our Mexico mission team, and Gianna is representing them today, to talk a little bit about how they have experienced the Spirit individually. So sometimes it's hard to know when the Spirit is talking to us and what the Spirit's trying to tell us. So how did you feel the Spirit asking you to go on this trip this last year?
Well, originally, most of my friends had done it before me, like the year before, and I had heard like such amazing things about what they got to do on this trip, and I decided that that was something I really wanted to be a part of, and I wanted to like see all the things that they were seeing, because I had heard so much about the school that they were building, but I'd never seen any pictures of it. I had no idea what it looked like, and I just wanted to like see that for myself, because I had some like false images that I wanted to expel, and I was very impressed with what I saw there, and it's really cool. And I think it was like a valuable thing for me to see, like all the work that's been put into it.
Yeah, so like your wants, your passions were being inspired by the Spirit to go on that.
Yes.
That's cool. What moments from the trip stick with you the most?
So we did a VBS for the kids who lived there, and I helped run the music station with a couple other people, and so every day we made like little instruments and we sang songs, and so the last day I decided that I wanted to play some Disney music on my speaker, just because I thought it would be fun, and this song from Moana came on, and I was singing it, and then this little boy started singing it with me in Spanish, and it was so cute, and like it was really nice because I had felt bad, because all week I don't speak Spanish at all, and all week I was like having trouble because I wanted to communicate with these kids, but I really couldn't. But that was like a nice little connecting moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Spirit connecting across cultures. That's
yeah.
Very cool. Were there any moments that affirmed that you or other people that were on this trip had made the right choice to join us that year?
Yeah, so my dad came with me and my brother this year. And so one of the projects that they wanted us to take on was help line the parking, like make parking lot lines, parking spots. And so my dad is an architect, and he like kind of took control of the project and was very meticulous in measuring everything out, and we got a team together, and it came out looking so nice. And we were also super lucky to have Kate, who is an awesome artist, and she freehanded all the handicap symbols, and it came out looking so nice. And I think it probably wouldn't have been as nice if we didn't have the people who came with us help us do that.
Their plan was a paint roller and like make a straight line. And Derek was like, no. We've got to mark this off. We have to do this right. And we saw other parking lots in the area. They definitely have the best parking lot in the whole region.
It's so nice.
So it was definitely the right people on the trip. Absolutely, I agree. But also we had like concrete, so we had lots of young people, young backs, people with lots of energy to do this. So it was obvious that the Spirit had picked us out one by one and put us on this trip. It was a really cool thing to see everyone work together. I agree. So what do you think you gained from listening to the Spirit?
Certainly like a value of teamwork, like seeing how there's so many of us and we have so many like different personalities, but we all united towards this common goal to like finish the project and make it look nice. And we like stayed after a couple days and like worked for a little more just because we wanted to finish the things that we started and make sure that we put as much effort as we could in it as possible. And I think that's like a really good lesson that like even if you're different from people, if you have a common goal, like it doesn't really matter because you can unite to get that stuff done.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I talk about with the youth is that to see the Spirit, if you want to see the Spirit working in your life more and more, to take those moments to notice when the Spirit is working. So some people call them God winks or God moments, where we see God in the world around us. And so with your sticky note this week, you might have to carry around for a couple days, but hopefully you can fill this with places where you see the Spirit working in your life. Take a moment to notice those, be appreciative of those moments, and the more moments you can take note of, the more you'll be able to see the Spirit and recognize the Spirit in your life. So let's take a moment of prayer. God, thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit to continually teach us and improve us as individuals and as a community. We thank you for the guidance we've had over the last years, and we are just so excited to see what the next statement from this church, this community, and from our nation will be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jana. Take this.